sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Let's stand as we worship the Lord tonight. Let's unite our hearts, please, before the Lord now in prayer. Father, we lift our hearts in thanksgiving and worship tonight. We're found once more in the house of praise and worship. We acknowledge, Lord, that it has been your kindness and grace that has enabled us to keep going through thick and thin, through hard times and even more difficult times. Yet, Father, we know that we are living in the victory of Christ's resurrection from the dead. And we have a hope. We have a certain and sure knowledge that cannot be taken away. And Lord, we're reminded from the Scripture that this mortal must put on immortality. We're soon, Lord, going to be in glory. We're soon going to put aside this frail body of dust, and we will be forever with the Lord. And yet when Christ Jesus comes back, we are also assured that there will be a great resurrection, and every body will be raised from the grave. And Lord, then we shall be eternally united with our Savior and our God in glory in the spiritual body that Thou hast prepared for us. Dear Lord, tonight, let the hope that we've been singing about already rest securely in our minds. Let it be in our hearts from the beginning of the morning to the end of the day. And dear God, I pray that there will be a light and a testimony that will shine from us so that when others look upon our lives, our times of work in the place of employment in the market, with family and friends, neighbors, that they will know Lord, that we have been with Jesus. Hear this, our prayer. Fill us daily with the Holy Spirit and power to be able to witness openly, but then to witness also, Lord, subconsciously, in the sense just of our unconscious influence of how we are dealing with people. Lord, may the glory and the beauty of the Savior be shining from us continually. Remember those who are set aside today and grieving. We pray for the Wagner family in the loss of dear sister Kim. We pray for the Sushila family that you would bless them all, Lord, as well. Many others who are just dealing, Father, with the loss of a loved one. The pain continues. Pour in grace and help for each family member. Lord, remember the sick in our fellowship. Thankful for the many prayers that have been lifted up and the love and concern that is shared and exampled by the believers here in our own fellowship. One for another, praying, holding each other up. Lord, continue to bless each one, we ask tonight. Remember our brother Duncan this evening. Pray your hand would be upon him, Lord, and just strengthen him in body, in his soul and spirit. Encourage him in his heart. Remember our brother Ron. We're thankful that he's here tonight. Build him up and strengthen him. Pray for our brother Richard Teo. Lord, you would strengthen and bless our brother also in the needs that he has. And so many others, Lord, we think of the elderly. We pray for Thelma and John Watson. Thankful for your hand of grace and continuing grace upon Thelma. And bless her and her home. We pray for Richard as well. Thankful Steve and Carol, able to be out this morning in the service. And bless them tonight. Pray for Henry Lee, for Kathy. Lord, strengthen them and build them up through the times of their weakness. Continue to encourage and build up each one. Lord, bless all of us in the witness that we endeavor to have in our whole fellowship, every area of outreach. Thankful, Lord, for supplying the need that has been brought in for the projected school for Liberia. Thankful, Father, for your hand upon Dave and Joanne. Bless them. Lead them forward. We hold up tonight again, Father, the work in Uganda, praying for the Fosters to encourage them, touch their bodies, heal them. Lord, restore them to the needs that they have for the work and the ministry there. Thankful for your hand upon Brother Randy Gunnings in Jamaica, for sparing his life from that very serious accident. And Father, bless him. Continue to pour out your Spirit upon his family. Bless Jillian, his wife. Lord, help her in the time of her physical sickness. Hear our prayers tonight. Just receive our thanksgiving again, Father, for the joy, the blessing, the hand that you've had upon us in so many ways. Remember also our brother Jesse Bartz tonight. We ask for blessing upon him and his wife and their family. Encourage them, Lord, and strengthen them in all the needs that they have as well. Bless us tonight. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Let's continue, please, in our worship of the Lord. Number 500, Be Still, My Soul.
Thank you.
Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Congregational reading tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. May God be pleased to encourage your hearts and bless His word as we have read this tonight. As we mentioned this morning, we extend the condolences of our congregation to the Wagner family in the passing of our sister Kim last Thursday. She went home to be with the Lord. I mentioned this morning that she had struggled for over 10 years with cancer. Well, actually, it was a tumor, a brain tumor, but it was not strictly cancerous. And it was coming closer to 15 years that she had been laboring through various surgeries and treatments. And the Lord saw fit to take her home. We pray that God will comfort the family this time. The funeral will be next Saturday in the Greenville congregation, and it will be webcast if you would like to tune in and see that service. Please continue to remember the family of our sister, Auntie Sushila. She has gone home to be with the Lord just about a week ago. And tomorrow there will be visitation in Ogden. And in the afternoon visitation time, the family has asked me to conduct a service. And I'm very honored and thankful to be able to do that. That will be 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But sadly, it's again going to be restricted by numbers. Only 18 people allowed in the chapel at Ogden because of the 15% capacity. And so I'll thank you for your prayers and for the family, that the Lord will give help in the ministry of His Word, and it will be an encouragement and a help to the family. Next Friday, Lord willing, the body of Auntie Sushila will be flown down to Guyana, where she'll be buried next to her dear husband. Please remember Jasmine, Vishnu. Of course, they were part of our fellowship for many years, and they moved down to London, Ontario, and also their daughter, Bea, and also Tate, who is a pastor in Guyana. Pastor Tate, that the Lord would be very near to them at this time. I want to share with you good news regarding our brother Randy Gunnings, who had that very serious accident just last week, that the Lord spared him. And he was in the church service this morning in Little London. And so he was doing well, but do pray for his wife, Jillian. She is still having some health issues and just asking for God to keep His hand upon her. We are thankful for your faithful praying for many in our congregation who are needing your prayers, be they elderly or those who are going through times of sickness or bereavement recently. The Lord would continue to watch over them and bless them. Boys and girls, I see some are in the congregation tonight. I hope you enjoyed the Behind the Wall episode this afternoon. It aired at 2 o'clock, and I wanted to encourage you because Daniel and Rebecca, they're preparing a mini-part series throughout the summertime, one for each week, a shortened version. They remind me of the Ten Commandments. They're going to be sharing those stories with the boys and girls, and so I encourage you to look out for those. I think a few mums and dads will probably enjoy watching those as well. They're always encouraging to find those Bible stories for children. They're applicable farther and wider. Do please continue to remember the announcements and the ministry announcements of our own congregation and all the needs that we have. This coming Wednesday night, our prayer meeting and Bible study will continue via Zoom only. And then next Lord's Day, our services on the regular time. Don't forget, on Saturday night, for those involved, the young adults, the Connect group will once more join at 7 p.m. Saturday night. And that's going to be, this is the last one before the break over the summertime. So please remember all in prayer. Brother Billy Lai is going to be sharing testimony this coming Saturday night, and we're looking forward to that as well as meeting around the Word. Those are all the announcements we have for you tonight. We're going to sing again to the Lord's praise, number 636. Remaining seated, please, while we sing. ask you please to turn with me now in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. As you're turning up there, you may have noticed I have a different shirt on tonight than the one I had on this morning. I don't know if you're paying attention to that or not. Are you? All right. I had a white shirt on this morning. So anyways, in the afternoon here, I was walking in the church, thinking, praying, talking with the Lord, and I came up to these lovely flowers here, and I leaned into them and had a good sniff. And then I had no idea but the nature of these particular beautiful flowers, but then I just caught it in the corner of my eye. There was red all over my shirt on both sides. And then, of course, what's that? So then I did this. And, of course, that was the worst thing to do. It just smeared all down, red, all over the place. Somebody may have thought I had lipstick on my shirt or something. That wouldn't have been good. So I tried to wash it, and then it just went all kind of pink. Forget it. Thankfully, I had another shirt in my closet in there that, well, it'll do for tonight anyways. It's a clean one, I guarantee you. But anyways, that was one of those things. You learn a lesson the hard way. Joan sitting back there laughing because she's the one who put these flowers out here and would have known you don't come near them to touch them because they just spread the pollen all over the place or whatever it is that they have in them. Anyways, that's just something by the way. We're going to read in the Word of God tonight, John's Gospel, chapter 14, the first six verses. These are so well known that they'll be not hard for us to recognize them as we read. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If he had known me, he should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, Show us the Father? Let's bow in prayer. Lord, as we come now to the Word that is open in front of us, our desire again is for the Word to speak to our hearts. Encourage us, instruct us, Lord. Give us understanding. Take away every distracting thing, whether here in the church building or for those watching at home. Lord, I'm asking that the Spirit of God will take these truths tonight to encourage, to bless, to strengthen, to help us through this earthly journey of life. Give me strength, Lord, tonight, I pray, to speak thy word. I need that unction and help from heaven. Can't be manufactured, can't be made up, Lord. Give the strength to speak the word faithfully and clearly. We pray these things tonight in Jesus' holy name. Amen. There were many hard things that the Lord Jesus had to speak to His disciples. Some of them they had listened to in the Olivet Discourse. Some of them they did not understand. Some of them they had taken a very different meaning until the Lord had to stop them, slow down, tell them the meaning of the parable, the instruction to be given to them. And as we were thinking last Lord's Day about the very direct words that He spoke to them in Matthew 25, how that the word of direct judgment came upon those who were the ungodly, who had heard the word but rejected it, though they thought they were right with Him, He had to say to them, they would depart into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And I encouraged you last Lord's Day that when the going gets tough, think on those words, because nothing and no one can take that away from you tonight. You're in Christ. You believed in Him. You have a hope that is certain and sure, that can never be taken away from you. You have tonight eternal life, life eternal. And as we finished off then on Matthew 25, entering into the next chapter of the 26, it really then moves into the next days of the Lord as He was soon to be arrested. We find going through John's Gospel, though, that there are other parts that must fit into that time before the last days, and the teaching of John 14, the teaching of John chapter 13 as well, it fits into that category. Sometimes it's a little hard to place exactly when the Lord Jesus was teaching those things, but there's no doubt that these are among the final words, instruction, ministry, encouragement that Christ was having with His disciples. And they form for us very, very encouraging words and teachings. And I pray tonight that as we think upon some of them, the Lord will bless us. Because, friend, among the hard things of life that the disciples faced, it's really no different, you know, different maybe in some specific details, but the general rule of it, it applies in every Christian life, no matter when you have lived. Because the trials and the persecutions and the fact that we are hated of all men for Christ's sake, and those times are heating up more and more as the world increases in their rejection of Christ and His gospel, as the world and society embraces wholesale that which is opposed to everything that is right and true, Bible-based. So we have to realize that we are going to be more and more troubled as the time comes to the end. Jesus spoke openly, and the Scriptures tell us about the mystery of lawlessness that will be at work before Christ comes back to this world again. And so we are to pray against that evil. We are not to say, oh, well, just lie down, let it run over us. But we also must, in our praying for the Lord to resist and stop that evil, understand that it is part of the fulfillment of prophecy. And so that when we pray for the Lord Jesus to come back again, as John did, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. That's our heart's desire. We are actually praying. When we say, Lord, come quickly, we're praying that the end times and the manifestation of evil will increase exponentially before the Lord Jesus comes. We must be prepared about that. the disciples themselves in Christ's day, as he was sharing with them that I must go and I must suffer and die. They did not understand. They didn't comprehend. But he was sharing with them, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Because in my Father's house are many mansions in glory. You're going there one day. In our fear, the Lord says to us, fear not. In the time of the disciples' fear, he said to them so many times, fear not, little flock. Don't be afraid when the storm is rising and the wind is blowing and the opposition of satanic power is coming forcibly against you. Because as it poured out in the day of Christ, so it will pour out in every time, in each generation. The Savior often said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Because the times of trouble, they make us without rest and anxious. But the Lord is always saying to his children, my peace I give unto you. He's always saying to my children, rest in me. He's always saying, do not be troubled. And I say that to you tonight, friend, to our hearts. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These words Jesus spoke to his disciples, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And what hope that gave to them in the midst of their, well, things they didn't understand at the time. They understood them much later, of course. And then the words that Jesus spoke to them, I go to prepare a place for you, it made sense then. Maybe not at the time. But now we have the great advantage of looking back. And we have all the years of the Scriptures being expounded and written by commentators. And of course, the Spirit of God giving us understanding as we read. It comes with great clarity to our hearts. It comes with great reinforcement and power to stir up our souls and to make us thankful for what we have in the gospel. Yes, when you feel the weight, friend, of spiritual attack, when you feel the weight of heart pain, it's almost like somebody is standing on your chest. The weight is so heavy. Look unto your Savior, because He is the author and the finisher of your faith. Look unto Him, friend, because the issue of a troubled heart, it's not uncommon. You're not alone in this. The effects of it, well, it goes across all ranks, all classes, all financial amounts and peoples. Everyone's affected by it who knows the Lord. And therefore, whether you feel in your body weak and run down, and you think sometimes the devil's getting the victory over you, and you feel you're not going to make it through the day, let alone tomorrow, these things are real. Jesus says tonight, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. J.C. Ryle said, even the best of Christians have many bitter cups to drink between grace and glory. Wise words. What's the answer for us in the situation? Is it going to be you're going to dig down a little deeper inside, you're going to rally up some thoughts in your intellect. You're going to go back and maybe read a few more books of education. They may be helpful in some areas. But friend, it's going to be your walk of faith. It's going to be your absolute dependence and trust upon the Savior's Word. Because as He has given His Word, He's given it to us so that we will accept it, receive it, and stand on it. It's the Word of Christ. It's the Word of faith. And He has blessed that to us. When we are weak in our faith, then we're going to be prone to, well, let's just say, vague thoughts. We're going to be open to weak thoughts. But when the Lord strengthens our faith and we turn our hearts heavenward toward our Savior, then our faith is going to carry us through, because we're strengthened with might in the inner man. That's why Paul prayed that, you know. Lord, strengthen me with might in the inner man. Because he knew that the inner man, the spiritual man, was going to be the thing to carry him through, even though the outer man was failing. Even though he could not seem to get the victory himself, he was happy to say, Lord, I want to die to myself today. I want to live unto Christ Jesus. We have tonight, friends, an eternal home, an everlasting home, an everlasting inheritance. And as Christ Jesus has promised that to us, He will never, ever, ever take it away. It's our hope. It's our eternal hope. Let us stand to it. And upon that, then, tonight, I want to draw your attention to the opening verse of chapter 14 and these precious words that our Savior has spoken. I go to prepare a place for you. Think for a moment with me about that place, the place of heaven, the place of our eternal destination, the place where we will call home. Where is that? Well, we don't know exactly where it is. We stand outside, look up to the sky. We think, well, there's heaven, there's home, it's up there somewhere. But if you're on the other side of the world, then you're looking at the opposite side of what up is. Up is actually down. Well, the fact of the matter is, whether heaven is up or whether we're going to be with the Lord on earth forever and ever, it doesn't really matter, friend, does it? Because the point is this. Wherever the Savior is, wherever our Father is, wherever the Holy Spirit is, if we could put that to a termination point, that's where we're going to be. That's where He is. And that's the great joy we have. Location is not the important thing, but it will be a place of unbroken fellowship with our God forever and forever and forever. The triune God. We know that man, because of sin, had to be put out of the fellowship place of the Garden of Eden on earth. He had to be put out because sin could not be tolerated in the presence of the Lord. And God set the flaming swords of the angels there to keep the way unto the tree of life. The whole story of redemption, what is it about? It's about man being restored to God by the grace of the Lord. And that's the precious truth that we have tonight. Because Christ has come, because our Savior has made a way for us, we then have entrance into heaven secure forever, grounded, settled, cannot be taken away. Heaven is our home forever. And forever, and forever. Have you ever thought about what the character of heaven will be like? The place is holy because our God is holy, who is there. It's a place where there is no such thing as sin. Sin cannot abide in the presence of our God. Jehovah is there. He's holy in all of His character and nature, in all of His ways. And therefore, when we are welcomed into the presence of God, it's going to be into the holiness of His abiding presence. The angels will be there who have never fallen. Redeemed saints will be there whom we have said farewell to here. And all who have been redeemed from all time will be in the presence of God Himself and will have been made holy by the righteousness of Jesus applied to us, imputed to us, received by faith alone, and we will be in His presence. To abide there in every action, every feeling, every desire, every impulse, every conversation, every action will be absolutely holy that we can offer unto God, and that we will be with Him because He is holy absolutely. In heaven, because of that, there will be no need for lawyers and courts and juries and prisons. There will be no security systems and no watchdogs. There will be no police because its character is pure, and all who dwell there do so in perfect obedience of God, because the law of God is their delight. And we at that time, delighting in the law of God after the inward man, we do that so in a limited sense here on earth because of the old nature and the new living together. But in glory, the law of God and all the holiness that the Lord represents will be our absolute delight, our absolute joy, because the character of God is holy. And friends, language fails us to describe what that heavenly home will be like to a believer. It is high. It is high beyond all of our conception. There is perfect order there. There is no chaos. There is no confusion. There is absolute and perfect harmony and peace. No fighting. No arguing, no warfare. There is happiness. There is no sorrow at all. We can't even conceive that, friend. Oh, sometimes I know we have our lucid times where there's great joy in our heart, thanksgiving to God, and He blesses us. We call it sometimes heaven on earth. And there is great thanksgiving for those times. And we can sort of imagine, is this what heaven would be like? Happiness, peace? Yes, it will be. But it will be so many times more. Do you know why? Because we will be there without our own sin, our own sinful nature. We'll be there without any bitterness or resentment. Sometimes our hearts are so grieved because we can have those resentful thoughts in our own hearts. We have to say, Lord, please take those thoughts away. But in glory, they will not be there. Because God is holy and the place is holy, and we will be holy like Him. We try to stretch language on earth. We stretch it to the highest pitch that we can. But the glory, it cannot be told. In this place, there is no end of fellowship with Christ. It will be without interruption, without any breaking off of fellowship because of our sin. No interruption. It will be life without the sadness and separation of death. Paul said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Because he knew that in the resurrection of Christ, we have the victory of that resurrection in us. But it's only held, it seems, so lightly on this side of glory. But in glory, there will never be death again. No more separation of loved ones. We have to say farewell on this side, But there will never be a farewell. Never a goodbye. Can you imagine this? How many times have you had to say goodbye to a loved one, family members, and maybe you've been separated for some long period of time now? They live over the border. You can't get to them. We know what that's like. It's hard. It's difficult. But in glory, there will never be another goodbye. Never another farewell. We will be with one another forever and forever in the presence of our great God when that last great enemy of death has been finally, totally, completely defeated. Paul talked in 2 Corinthians 5 about an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Dwell on those words. An exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He shared also in Ephesians 1, where it speaks about the exceeding riches of His grace toward us. And where, friends, have we seen the exceeding riches of the grace of God? Well, of course, it has been in the cross. Of course, it has been in the sacrifice of Christ for us and on our account. But we will for all eternity be dwelling and receiving the abundance of the exceeding riches of the grace of God that will never, ever end. Heaven, character is perfect. It's holy. It's complete. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Revealed in us. Yes, my friend, it is a place in glory of total contentment, a place of total satisfaction. No want, no longing, no disappointment, no amount of earthly wealth or pleasure can bring anything near the lasting satisfaction that God has promised to us. Why is that? Because the human heart is far too large by the way God has created it to be satisfied with things in this earth. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses, Luke 12:15. And Paul warned Timothy. He said, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You brought a body into this world, you won't even carry a body out, at least not until the resurrection. Therefore, be not high-minded, Paul says, but trust. This place will so fill the heart of man that we cannot comprehend the heights of its glory. For after we have been there for thousands of years in heaven, the Lord is still going to reveal new sights of Himself. He's still going to be revealing for all eternity the greatness of who He is to us. And we will never exhaust that. Because God is exhaustless. And friends, sometimes you might wonder, what is heaven like and what are we going to do there for eternity? In a finite mind, we soon come to the end, well, I think we've done everything we can do. What else is there to do? That's because we cannot comprehend the eternal nature of God's person and character. We don't know what He's going to show us. We know this, friend. We will never be dissatisfied. We will never be unhappy. We'll never come to the point where we think, well, Lord, we're kind of bored now. What else have you got for us here? No, it'll never be like that. Because God is infinite and eternal and unchangeable. And He will never end of supplying the need for all His redeemed people. Thank God, heaven is everlasting in its duration. There is no decay, no deterioration. It is indestructible in its very nature. It's permanent in its existence. The great world empires that have come and gone of Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, name them all, they've come and they have gone, and the present ones today, the great United States of America, the nation of Canada and its government, puny as it is in the world's eyes in many respects, they'll all come and go. But the eternal kingdom, God's kingdom, will never go. It is here forever and forever and forever. The hymn writer said, "Thrones and their scepters all shall perish. Crowns with their splendor shall fall. But the place of heaven is incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away." There's no other words that Paul could have possibly used. The Holy Spirit was giving him those words so that we could understand, and he came to the end of himself. There's nothing more he could say. We know this, that this place in heaven is ours. It's our home. It's our eternal home. And we know that Christ has gone there to prepare that place for us. And when He comes again, He is the great builder of that place. Yes, the place is glory, its character is holy. And the builder, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one to whom was a task left to make that provision. It wasn't to an angel. It wasn't to a great prophet. It was Christ Himself who went to do that work. And how and why did He do that work? He did that work of preparation, and He paid for our admission into that place. We've all heard sad stories of families that have been so upset by gambling and drinking and drug abuse. Fathers that have taken their weekly pay and have spent it on gambling, spent it on drink and drugs, only to leave their family not with the necessities of life. And on that goes, and everything has been wasted away. And friend, the devastation of that has been horrific. It's led to suicide. It's led to much upheaval in homes. Because man has, in a spiritual sense, very similar to that, he just bartered away his heavenly right because of sin. And has so indulged himself, fallen away, rejected the gospel. But the Lord has come, friend, with healing. He has come with the gift of salvation, and He has purchased for us an eternal inheritance. And because it has been purchased by Christ Himself, then we know it's valuable beyond description, for His blood that He shed to purchase eternal salvation for us is without understanding of value. Shortly after the Lord Jesus spoke these words to His disciples, saying, "I go to prepare a place for you," He was left alone in Gethsemane, in deep agony. He was betrayed by one of His own. He was shamefully treated as a common criminal, wrongfully accused of sin of blasphemy, mocked and ridiculed and spit upon by the Jews, His own people. He was brutalized by the Roman soldiers, and then He was spiked to the cross. He gave up his life, friends. And he was put to rest in a borrowed tomb. All that he might purchase for us eternal redemption. And all that he suffered on earth, and all of the anxiety and anguish and suffering. Yet, friends, it was but a glimpse, but just a portion of all that he endured of the wrath of God against sin for you and me tonight, that he might give for us himself an offering and a sacrifice for sin, so that we might be partakers of heaven and home, that we might be adopted into his family, that we might be made children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He did it all for us, friends, undeserving as we are. O Christ, what burdens bow thy head? Our load was laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ill for me. A victim led, thy blood was shed. Now there's no load for me. Death and the curse were in our cup. O Christ, 'twas full for thee, but thou hast drained the last dark drop. 'Tis empty now for me. The bitter cup love drank it up, now blessings draft for me. Yes, friend, our Lord Jesus is the one who has gone in order to prepare and to build. He has redeemed us. We lost everything because of our sin, but he hath obtained eternal redemption for us. He is our great high priest. This is our Lord, our Savior, and our King. And he is gone, friend, to make that place a place for us. Some wonder, you know, in heaven, is it possible that you and I would ever lose that inheritance that is given to us? We could easily lose many things, but no, we have placed that into the hands. It has been placed into the hands of our Heavenly Father. He is the keeper. And we can rest secure that when it's in his hands, it'll never be taken out of his hands. And we have all this. He has gone before. Our Savior is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. And we have this friend tonight vouchsafed for us, securely held because of the redemptive work of Christ, because he has shed his blood for us. We will never, ever lose the inheritance that he has purchased for us. I wonder, friend, tonight, if you're not saved, what holds you back from trusting in the Savior? What holds you back tonight from receiving the gift of everlasting salvation? Don't put it off. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And I pray that the Spirit of God would work deeply in your heart and you would open your soul to receive the gift of everlasting life. Ah, yes, my friend, it has been prepared, your inheritance, for you. And it's as if all of heaven was prepared for you. And I think back to the days of the recording of Joshua. You remember what Rahab said to the two spies when they went into Jericho and they were sussing out the place? And Rahab had been given such perception by God, realizing that the people of God, Israel, had destroyed the two kings of the Amorites. And they had come now to Jericho, and she realized that they were no match for this. They were not going to stand before the God of heaven. And she said, We know that God has done this because of you. And she was and wanted to be part of that family. And you know what, friend? Christ has done everything for you tonight. Can you rejoice in that? Can you thank the Lord tonight? Indeed, if you know Him, you will. But if you're not saved, come and place your trust in Him. For John 6 tells us that all that the Father has given to Christ will come to Him. And him that comes to the Lord Jesus, He will in no wise cast out. He will not turn you away. Then come to Him. Place your soul upon the Savior. And you will know, friend, tonight, beyond anything else, that Christ has died to bear away your sin. He did die for you. And that great truth that we have is such a reassuring thing for us. 1 Peter 1 verse 4 speaks about an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And that reservation for you, friend, tonight is there secured. Reach out by faith. Receive Christ as your own. Because when you do, you will know that that eternal inheritance belongs to you. And you are a child of the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And what does this truth do for us as God's people? And I say this by way of concluding tonight. Well, it will give for us an increased attachment to the Savior. That's what it will do for us. The more we think on heaven, the more we rejoice in all that our Lord Jesus has done for us, it will be like a magnet drawing us closer to our Lord. We want to walk with Him. We'll want to worship Him more. We'll want to bask in the sunlight of His glorious face. We read in Corinthians about the glory of God that shines in the face of our Redeemer. We'll be more attached to Him. It will also mean we'll have a brighter perspective on hard providences. Life is not easy. Christian life has been hard for many here in this very fellowship. And you don't have the answers, but I will tell you something. The hard providences of God, as you have your perspective of heaven and Christ and home, you will see that these things become smoother. You might not have the answers. You might not get clarity on some of the problems, but I'll tell you this. It will make your journey through earth much brighter because your faith is sharpened upon Christ Jesus. Your faith is sharpened and you see the providences of God and how they are working and alive in you. And then there'll be a greater desire for the mind of Christ and His work in our service. And we will say to ourselves, don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And the whole impetus of the Word of God to encourage the people of God as we're going through our pilgrim journey, we will see the providences of the Lord in our life and we will accept them. Because heaven is our home and glory is in front of us. And we'll want to serve the Lord with all our hearts and live each day for Him. That's what we want to do. For the Lord gives us grace upon grace. And He echoes those words into our hearts. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. that where I am, there ye may be also. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we have asked many times for the Spirit's work to be done in the hearts of unsaved loved ones, people listening that we don't even know about, or perhaps, Lord, someone who will listen to a message like this in the future, in your providence. Father, draw, we pray, sinners to yourself. Save, we pray. And Lord, out of this message tonight, I'm praying for the encouragement of your people, that all of us will keep our eyes heavenward, that we will not lose sight, that our faith will grow brighter and brighter unto that perfect day, the day of our redemption, the day we are ushered into glory. Father, let us not fall by the wayside. Oh God, protect us, I ask. Protect and guard our testimonies. Do not let us go down the pathway of any sin disappointment. Let us not grieve the Spirit. O God, set a hedge around us. Blessed Savior, encamp around your people every moment of every day. Lord, don't allow us to drift away. Keep us in the center, Lord, of your perfect will. Hear our prayers now tonight. Receive our thanksgiving for the blessing of being back in the house of God with your people. We ask, Lord, that we might glorify Jesus in every step that we take. Hear our prayer tonight, Father. Go before us now. We ask in our Savior's name. Amen.